welcome back to another episode of Wellness with Liz Earl. And once again, we are returning to the menopause. And while many of us are comfortable talking about insomnia and hot flushes, we often find it less easy talking about vaginal dryness, a really common symptom which causes so much needless pain and distress. So to get the real inside scoop here, as it were, I'm joined today by GP and menopause doctor, Dr. Rebecca Lewis, for an episode that has been kindly sponsored by Regel, a long-lasting vaginal moisturiser which gives relief for up to 3 days from just one application. And it's non-hormonal and is clinically proven to provide immediate soothing relief from the symptoms of vaginal dryness. So welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
And thank you for offering to do a deep dive straight into such an intimate subject that often we kind of skirt around the edges, but we're just going to go full on, aren't we?
Absolutely. Bring it on.
Absolutely. So tell a little bit about your background. You are a GP.
I'm a GP and also work in the menopause clinic. For half and half, really.
And that's so Newson Health in Stratford-upon-Avon.
Excellent. So see a lot of women suffering from this problem.
Really?
But the problem is it's not talked about, and millions of women suffer from it without us knowing, and that's the huge problem about it.
So should we go back as to look at the symptoms? How do we know? Is it obvious if we know that we have vaginal dryness?
Usually with a myriad of symptoms, again, vaginal dryness, literally feeling drier, itching, soreness, bladder symptoms as well, so increased urinary frequency, recurrent urinary tract infections, sometimes recurrent thrush as well. This sort of thing can all be due to vaginal dryness and atrophy, or genitourinary symptoms of the menopause is the other name that it's called now.
And is this all linked to declining estrogen?
Yeah, what happens is the estrogen obviously declines in the menopause, during the menopause, and as a result, the structure of the vagina changes. The vagina tissue should be spongy and elastic, but with the loss of estrogen, it becomes very thin, like tissue paper, loss of mucus, and loss of secretions. And this causes these sort of symptoms that women are experiencing.
I know that as we go through perimenopause, which can start sort of typically mid-40s, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Early mid-40s onwards, we start to see our outer skin change because we lose our elastin and our collagen fibres, so things become a bit slacker and saggier.
Yes.
Is that a similar process to what's happening inside us as well?
Yeah, I mean, there are estrogen receptors not only in the vagina but in the back of the bladder and the urethra, so the loss of estrogen will have effects in those areas anatomically. So what happens is the collagen is lost, the secretory cells, which are very important actually for vaginal health, because they secrete glycogen, which keeps the pH quite acidic. The loss of that means that the pH rises and we get an increased growth of thrush and bacterial vaginosis, and so we get
interesting
soreness and discharge from that point of view.
Because I know through talking to girlfriends that even not talking about menopausal symptoms, that we will often bemoan the fact that we have a repeated urinary tract infection or cystitis, and you kind of think, oh, it's just part and parcel of being a woman, and that's what happens.
Yes, this is the problem, isn't it? People assume it was just an aging process and just put up,
but not realising that it's linked to specifically linked to a decline in estrogen.
Absolutely, to a decline in estrogen can be a major contributory factor for recurrent urinary infections, for example.
Isn't that interesting? Because I know whenever I've seen the doctor in the past, and you know, I have suffered from urinary tract infections, and it's just agonising.
Yeah,
and completely debilitating. I was, once taken to hospital with it. And I was prescribed antibiotics.
Yes.
Which, of course, clears the infection.
Yes.
And actually, part of that triggered my whole journey on writing about gut health.
Yeah.
Because that the probiotics can really help to sort of rebalance and fight the E. coli rather than just relying on antibiotics.
Yeah.
But nobody at any point has ever mentioned to me about maybe you're lacking in estrogen. Looking at my age, late 40s, thinking, of course you're going to be more susceptible to this.
Yes, we are more susceptible because the lining has thinned, and the point of the lining is to prevent bacteria getting into the urethra. Women have very short urethras, so it's very easy for bacteria to climb into the urethra and up into the bladder without the lack of the thick lining and causing infection.
Right, so you want that thick, spongy tissue
that's
there,
yes,
being protective.
Yes, with a certain pH,
right,
to try and help prevent urinary tract infections.
It's
terribly important.
So what's your first line of treatment then as a medic when you actually do pick this up and women talk about it?
With urinary tract infections?
Or just with vagina? I mean, obviously, if people are coming to you at the menopause clinic, they're going to be there because
they're already ready to talk about it, usually.
And that's are they? I mean, or they're there because of hot flushes and insomnia and low mood?
Yes, all those things. But we always ask, of course, about...
Do you? That's like on your checklist.
It's so important for doctors, their awareness to increase about the problem of vaginal dryness and all these symptoms that women aren't are too embarrassed to talk about, or they feel it's just something they need to put up with.
Yes. Well, certainly I would never have connected it with a bladder infection.
No, but it can.
You know, I would think, a bit dry or whatever,
yes,
but uncomfortable,
yes,
but
yeah,
that's not related to the
yeah
urethra and the bladder, because
yes,
that's a different bit of the body.
No, but it's interesting, isn't it, that they're all part from when we developed as embryos, they're all from the same source, the back of the bladder and the urethra and the vagina. So they're all influenced by estrogen.
So
that's why you get these different types of symptoms in some women.
So how would you then treat it? Do you treat it separately, or do you just bundle it in with HRT?
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking HRT for your other systemic symptoms of hot flushes, insomnia, low mood, that often helps the vaginal symptoms as well, but not always. In fact, in 25%, despite being well treated with systemic HRT, people still suffering with vaginal dryness.
Really?
So in that situation, we can then add in some local estrogen, which can be applied to the vagina.
So is that like a cream? Or?
That comes as a cream or a tablet that women can assert every night.
Right.
And then use twice a week, perhaps. This helps restore the normal vaginal physiology from a paper-thin tissue to a nice, thick, spongy vagina.
And how long would that take, that process?
Well, it depends how long they've been suffering from symptoms,
right,
of course,
okay,
and everyone's different. But if the symptoms have been going along, it can be up to 3 months, really, and maybe longer for some women. But it's an easy treatment to do with minimal side effects and very safe, and really helps women in many, many ways.
I've heard of a vaginal ring.
That's right.
Is that right?
How does that work? And the pessaries, a ring can be put in, which is containing the estrogen, which releases over 3 months. So it has to be changed every 3 months.
How big a ring are we talking
it's
about?
It's very small. It's very small and easy to put in.
Is it fit over the cervix, like a diaphragm?
It's smaller than that. It
right
goes at the top of the vagina, and it just releases slowly.
And how does it stay there?
Just the vaginal muscles will keep it
really,
there.
Really, just keep it in place.
It does.
How long does that last?
3 months.
So that's quite handy then.
So that's quite handy for someone, but it's so easy using the pessaries as well.
Mm.
Or the cream. Some women might prefer cream
because
it's more lubricant to start with.
Yes.
And results can be seen, you know, fairly quickly. But the problem is when it's stopped, then the symptoms can return again.
Right.
It's like using a moisturiser on your skin, isn't it?
Okay.
If you're dry in
yes
skin, you need to use your moisturiser regularly,
yeah,
of course, and then you feel fine. So
yeah,
then you stop, and then the dry skin comes back. And that's the problem sometimes we see with vaginal dryness. People are using it, and they feel much better. Then they stop. They think it's just a short course,
right,
which is not the case often. So their symptoms come back, and they feel it hasn't worked. And then they're despondent and just think, well, I'm not going to bother
because
trying.
Because it's like brushing your teeth
you
with toothpaste. You need
going.
It's a daily
yeah
thing.
And it's so safe, Liz, because you could take that, say, twice a week to maintain the integrity of the vagina, and that for a whole year is the equivalent of one HRT tablet.
It's a small dose. So does this mean that it's suitable for women with an estrogen receptive breast cancer?
Well, that's slightly different. There are alternatives perhaps to start, but yes, many women do with history of breast cancer do use this local estrogen.
Do they?
It is on a case by case
basis. Yeah,
and
no, we're not making any general recommendations, and but you'd need to talk to an expert or specialist like you.
That's right, and with their oncologist to make sure. But many women, depends what type of drugs they're on from the breast cancer, could be considered after discussion for using local estrogen.
Because there's absolutely no link, is there, with local estrogen and any kind of cancer?
No.
Uterine or breast cancer or any
That's
any
right.
Other kind.
None at all, but because it's such a small dose that gets into the bloodstream.
Yeah.
So there's no link of problems with the lining of the womb. You don't have to take progesterone to in case.
And are we talking body identical estrogen?
Yes, there are body identical estrogens that we tend to use in our clinic.
Yeah.
We like those because it mirrors the exact same estrogen that we produce.
Can we get them on the NHS?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Excellent.
Definitely.
Good. Well, we'll make sure that we put all the resources and things in
Lovely.
Our
yeah.
website link afterwards, so people can go and have a chat. As a GP, so if you're seeing women in their, you know, mid to late 40s, 50s, who are coming into you, you know, perhaps with other symptoms, how do you sort of broach the subject? Do you start talking about menopause? Or, I mean, so many women, I mean, I'm very active on social media, and I get so furious by the number of women who say, I went to my GP because I'm sure I'm having menopausal symptoms, but they just fob me off with antidepressants. You know, they said
well,
that was my low mood.
Yeah, this is the problem, isn't it? And we're desperately trying to raise awareness amongst women and doctors about how the menopause can present. There's a myriad of symptoms. You've mentioned two symptoms there: low mood, anxiety, poor sleep.
And do you get women coming to you with those symptoms, or even you know, strange things like tinnitus, you know, which is a sort of, you know, you think is unrelated, or vertigo or something, and that can be a symptom, can't it?
Or muscle aches and pains, and people have been referring them to rheumatologists and things, and actually
which is such a waste of money for the NHS.
Well it is
waste of time and money, let alone the human cost.
Most certainly. So every woman is slightly different in how they present. It's not just hot flushes and funny vaginal bleeding. You know, it's the painful joints that really can be quite disabling in the morning, especially very stiff. You know, the insomnia as well is a huge thing.
Oh, I mean, for me, that was the key.
Yeah,
and I was fortunate
thing.
I don't really recall having very many symptoms, and I like to think that I can do a lot of things in
life
and juggle a lot of balls in the air. But
when
I was starting to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I thought, I can't do this.
And
I was fortunate because I was actually writing about menopause at the time, and I'd kind of put that project off, and I thought, I'm not really that interested, and, you know, I was not really too aware of it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I met Louise,
Dr.
Louise Newson, who I know you work with.
That's right.
And she was helping me to update a lot of the medical facts. And it was just fascinating. And now, I mean, my lovely regular listeners will know, I mean, I'm completely passionate about the subject, because it's something that affects all women.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You think of how much we talk about babies and pregnancy and childbirth.
Yeah.
Not every woman will have a baby.
No. Absolutely.
But every woman has a menopause.
Everyone does. And we are talking more, but there's more work to be done there.
Yeah.
But even so, we're not talking enough about vaginal dryness.
Absolutely. We talk about, we're quite
hot
happy
flushes,
to talk about
hot
flushes insomnia.
Yeah, but vaginal dryness, difficulty with intercourse.
So I was going to come on to that. So you touched on lubrication.
Yeah.
What's the difference? Is there a difference between lubricants? I mean, we've seen this massive rise of lubes in the chemist. I mean, is that what we should be going for?
No, you should be going for something that's particularly made for women, because it's important to get the pH right, the osmolality correct, unperfumed products, which have been researched and proven to help the symptoms. And they are very helpful for women, especially if they're not able to use even local estrogen in a few people.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be used with local estrogen as well.
So can you use these vaginal moisturizers? Can you use them as a sexual lubricant? Do they have that same
you can use just before intercourse, so that's just put on before, and they won't last for very long, but makes it much more comfortable for women.
Right.
And there are moisturisers as well, and that's a bit different.
Because it's a whole new world. I write about skincare, but I have never covered the most intimate regions
there
of skincare
we are,
and the different types of moisturisers. I'm learning a lot.
But it has a similar sort of principle, really.
Oh, for sure. So and, you know, you'll have serums that do different things, and you'll use a very rich night cream in cold weather if you want a really heavy-duty moisturiser.
Yeah.
So I guess it makes sense that you've got different types types of...
So the moisturisers are applied, and they only have to be applied every 3 days because they adhere to the lining of the vagina and draw in moisture.
Do they come with like an applicator? So, or
I don't. I'm not
probably
too, probably do. Yes. So you otherwise, can pop it in.
Yes. Sort of leave it
That's
alone.
Right. Yes.
Is
yes.
When you're opening up a whole new world, and then in terms of lubricants, you know, if we were then, you know, wanting to go down that route. Are there certain things that we should be looking for? Are there specific sort of menopausal lubricants? What are the key words on packages and things that we should look for?
I think the pH has to be right because we should have an acidic vagina to help the stop overgrowth of thrush and bacterial vaginosis. So the pH has to be acidic. The normal vagina is about 4.
Is it?
pH
so yeah, slightly more acidic than the outside of the skin.
Right, that's right. And the osmolality, not too high in osmolality, because that can hurt.
What's osmolality?
Osmolality is sort of the strength of it. It's to do with water content.
Like sort of viscosity?
A little bit like that.
Okay.
So it's important that that's right.
Right, so a dab of Vaseline or a bit of KY jelly is not going to do the trick.
And can upset people sometimes.
Can it?
It can actually irritate some women.
That's good to know.
So I think it has to be specifically made for vaginal moisturiser.
Right.
So it doesn't irritate.
Yeah. Fascinating. And then in terms of other treatments that we could do, I mean, we've heard about things like laser treatments. Is that something
that's new
that can help with vaginal dryness?
Yes, indeed. It's really exciting, actually. That's a carbon dioxide laser or infrared laser that is used to regenerate the lining of the vagina, which has become thin. And that stimulates collagen and blood flow and can help restore the natural lining. The only problem is that we haven't got long-term data about it.
Right, it's still quite new.
It's quite new, but it's very interesting. Exciting.
I think what's interesting, I've been researching very many sort of high-tech skincare features actually for the magazine here, and the advances in light and laser use is extraordinary, often driven actually from the medical world.
Yes,
you know, talking about things like severe scarring and acne scarring or post-operative surgical scarring or skin pitting or pigmentation, you know, port wine stains, those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then that knowledge is filtering across into skin rejuvenation just using these high strength light.
Yes, it's amazing what they can do, and it's they're very useful.
And of course, a lot of it revolves around boosting collagen supplies.
That's right. That's
and I guess you're
exactly
doing that internally with
the
laser.
It's heat application which stimulates blood flow, collagen regeneration. And that's exactly the same sort of principle, really.
Great. Well, I know we're in this series we're going to come on and actually talk about lasers in a little bit more depth. But what else can we do as well as our specific vaginal dryness products? Should we be watching things like bubble baths and
talcum powders, that kind of thing? What I advise women is we discuss whether they like some local oestrogen and they could be used with that or plus the vaginal moisturisers. And I would avoid any perfume products and wash perhaps with a plain moisturiser because that will cleanse you properly.
So an emollient, something that you might use for sort of an eczema prone patient,
that's right,
or
exactly
something very
that,
gentle.
Because it's gentle and won't irritate. Because the skin is so thin, it's very reactive and it can get inflamed very easily.
Gosh. Yeah. And moving on from that, if left untreated, I mean, are we looking at things like vaginal atrophy?
Vaginal atrophy is what is the name, or genitourinary symptoms of the menopause, which is a bit of a mouthful.
Right.
But vaginal atrophy is what we discussed, really. It's going from a nice plump lining, spongy, elastic lining, down, thinned. Atrophy means thinning down to a sort of tissue paper.
And I've heard of clitoral atrophy.
Yes.
Which sounds absolutely devastating.
That can happen as well, the vulva, the external.
And can that all be brought back to life, as it were?
Yes, that can be helped.
Really?
By,
and
yes,
is it ever too late?
No, it's always elderly women come and see me. The problem is with vaginal atrophy is that it doesn't just get better, and some women get better from their menopausal symptoms after 5-6 years. They may recover from their hot flushes.
Yes.
But with the vaginal atrophy, once it's there, you've got to treat it.
I have heard of real horror stories with nursing professionals in elderly care homes, for example, with women who are being left untreated.
Yes.
And the daily agony and the indignity of it and the discomfort. It's really shocking, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And presumably things like the vaginal ring that, you know, needs inserting once every 3 months in that kind of situation
be quite helpful for people if, you know, they can tolerate the insertion, then that that's not difficult. And then it's there for 3 months and it can really help. Some poor women have such symptoms that they can't even sit down, you know, wear underwear. It's so uncomfortable for
and presumably
them.
We should be going for cotton underwear and overheating the area.
That's right.
I mean, I've heard of cases of women who've had to give up riding their bike to work
cycling,
going horse riding, anything like that.
It's too much pain. So it can be
let
really
alone sex and then the impact on relationships. I mean, that's of course we haven't even really touched on that, but that's obviously a huge
if it's if it's painful to have intercourse, you know,
you're not going
to
do it.
No, you're not,
and your husband's going to think, oh well, she doesn't love me anymore.
It causes huge problems in relationships. It's really sad when it's quite you know, there's a few really good treatments that we can use and to help women that are very safe.
I mean, and this is actually a point that I'd kind of like to end on, really, is the safety of it. And you mentioned earlier that some women fortunately can sail through menopause and not have very many symptoms, or they might pop out the other side and their hot flushes have subsided. And yet we know that that we are losing our estrogen, and therefore we're getting less protection from coronary heart disease and osteoporosis, and obviously now talking about vaginal dryness. I've even in the media, some of the doctors that I've seen quoted have talked about being able to wean their patients off HRT.
Yeah.
I mean, what's your view on that? I mean, is there something that we need to be weaned off?
No, not at all. There's no time limit for how long you take HRT. It's really down to the woman's choice. And I've got many 80-year-olds on HRT and they're very happy.
And there's no upper age limit?
There's no upper age limit.
Is there an upper age as to when you would start a woman if she came to you in her sort of 60s or 70s?
It may be more difficult to start HRT or have less benefit from 60 onwards, because the coronary artery protection, the cardiovascular protection, is really maximal between 50 and 60.
So that's the optimum time between 50 and 60. But you can still, if you want to.
Absolutely.
And of course, what's very helpful in all this is that the NICE guidelines are now very clear, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It gives a really good guidance for GPs to refer to to help guide their treatment.
And of course, if anybody's interested in NICE guidelines, we'll put details on the website, but you can go online and download them and have a read through, and they're written in quite easy layman's language. I mean, I read them and could understand them quite easily about
definitely,
you know, what the
treatments
and
the other thing to say is how important a lot of women, we're trying to estimate how common this symptom is, and about some studies have said 80% of women suffer from vaginal dryness. Good 50 to 80%, so it's really common.
It's a big topic.
But it's not mentioned because women are embarrassed and shy, and, you know, and doctors don't think to ask. So it needs to be mentioned because it could be treated fairly quickly and easily.
Easily and safely.
Yeah. The other thing to say, I would like to say, I think it is important. Yep. If one is on HRT, 25% of people still have vaginal dryness.
Right, so don't assume that just because you've got the gel or the patch or whatever.
That's right, that it will necessarily help. It often does, but sadly not in everybody. But then there's no problem having both. You could have the systemic HRT and the local.
Could you
estrogen.
Top it up?
Yeah.
Locally?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So you can have both quite safely. Because remember, the whole year of the vaginal estrogen is worth one
HRT.
It's
worth one tablet. Isn't that amazing?
It is safe to have both together if a woman needs it.
Yeah. Rebecca, thank you so much. I've learned so much, and I'm sure everybody listening has too. And I get
thank
a sense
you.
That this may well be a podcast that is shared amongst girlfriends.
Oh, I hope so. If we can get people talking about it more, then I'm pleased.
Well, we know we've managed to bring the M word out into the light. So maybe we'll bring the VD word, although that's got a different connotation. Maybe we just call it the V word out into the light as
that
well.
That would be great.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So my thanks again to Rigel for sponsoring this episode, and they have kindly given us a discount, if you're interested, on their long-lasting vaginal moisturiser. This is the one that gives relief up to 3 days from just one application. It is non-hormonal and it's clinically proven to provide immediate soothing relief from the symptoms of vaginal dryness. And you can get 25% off and free P&P. Simply use the code LizEarl, all in capital letters, and we will put all these details in our show notes, which you can find over on LizEarlWellbeing.com, along with all the links and the resources that we've talked about in today's show. So until next time we chat, go well. Bye-bye. Thank you.